Chris?
Juan.
And today's question is, what is there to do for a writer if not drink, fuck, and write? I say to you, Juan, he works. I was about to like tip this over, but it's not a cup. It's not a cup of juice. So this is the season finale.
Yeah.
The last time that Juan and I will... Well, last time in a while that we'll that we'll sit down in the same room.
Yeah, let me know. You never know.
Yeah, no, I like, I've always said like I ain't coming back to this motherfucking place ever. But I have to be realistic. I mean, I've made some acquaintances. I've made five friends out here, and I, you know, like to see them again. Mm-hmm. And you being one of those people, kind of comes with the territory. So I know. I hate to admit it. I know I'll be back someday. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not coming back in the summer ever. I don't care if there's a death, a funeral, or a fucking wedding between April and October.
Yeah.
I am not coming. Mm-hmm. I will send the beautiful card. Yeah. There's no fucking way.
Nice flowers.
You're gonna
really
catch
nice
me,
flowers.
You're going to catch me here between those. Because that's... Let's talk about me leaving.
Yeah.
All right. Originally, the plan was I was leaving in February, March. That was the original plan. Like 4.5 years. I'm like, I wanted to enjoy one more winter.
Yeah.
That unfortunately backfired because my job abruptly made changes that I wasn't a part of. But you know, but it wasn't a bad one. It was just kind of like, this is kind of what's happening. You know, we'll take care of you. And I said, and I took it. I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I can do that. It's cool. So now I'm leaving tomorrow, and spending New Year's in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I didn't have a problem with it is, I was already planning on leaving, and like I've said, man. The city itself, and my psychologist, my old psychologist will agree with me. The city itself seems to, I call it a disease. She calls it an attitude. You know what? Just because she's got a diploma doesn't mean she's right. But the city itself has been a hindrance. Like, it's very aggressive. It's very rude. It's very in your face. And I'm not saying that's bad. Know what? If apparently the city's been working just fine without me for the last fucking 50 years. So it isn't that it's bad. It's just not for me, you know? I have issues with anxiety, you know? Specifically with people being in my face and people taking up my personal space. So it's actually made me angrier. The last 4 years here have been a little, you know, angrier for me in the sense where I'm more aggressive towards people. In the beginning, I took it as, there's a few bad apples.
Yeah.
You know, this Target, all the employees hate working here. Maybe the other Target, they don't. You know? Maybe at the other Target, the cashier register person will tell me, good afternoon or good morning, sir. How are you? Maybe. But then,
maybe.
And then little by little, it never happened, you know? And then I almost became introverted in that sense where... I found certain locations that I liked out here. I went to them frequently, but I didn't veer too much out of those, you know? Like, I found a comfortable place, and I was like, you know what? And that's the other thing. My job was phenomenal for me. And then I found a great place to live in between work and a home, which was 90% of my life anyway. I was okay with the city being that type of aggressive because I didn't have to deal with it as much. And it's the only reason why I stayed here as long as I did. If it hadn't been for that, I would have been gone fucking 4 years ago in 10 days, you know. Ultimately it just wasn't a good fit. Honestly, it wasn't. And I kid about people and all that. I mean, yes, people are fucking assholes here. Yes.
But that's everywhere.
But ultimately it just wasn't a good fit for me. It definitely was not.
And I think if you go into the past podcast, we touched on it, and even last week's we touched on it, and then this one too, and it's always been something, and I'm always like, I don't believe I defend Miami, because I tend to, like, agree, but it's funny, because it's just something that keeps coming up, and it's one of those things, and it's like, I always see it as the same thing. Like, Miami has all the big city problems without any of the big city benefits. You know what I'm saying? And it just gets to the point. And even for myself, like, we're contemplating moving to Broward next year. Like, probably in February. Like, we're thinking of just moving that way. Because I work up there now. And I've hung out up there and everything. And I'm not saying it's a fucking golden, you know,
but there happiness.
But there is a different attitude.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, like, you know, my sister-in-law was here from San Francisco. And she was just saying, like, you know, she went off on a rant. And I get pissed off because, like, okay, yeah, we're not California. We're not, you know, whatever. We're not this. We're not that. You know, I think it is something that I do believe this, and I don't care where you live. It's what you're doing that's going to matter.
Yes.
I you know, it just that's the point and period of it. But by the other side of it, too, yeah, like, Miami has a very, very asshole-ish manner of being, and it's very cliquish. I think that's the main thing. It's very much people are in their groups, and, you know, it's not like other places like, yeah, like in California or a lot of places where you sit down in a bar and you start, you know, talking to somebody, and next thing you know, you make friends, you know? Or people are like, hey, where are you from?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know? And I've seen that. I can't say all cities are like that. I think a lot of other places are more racist than here.
I agree.
You know? I think Miami's kind of like, it's not racist. It has racism, but it's like, whatever. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, back to like the dropping the N-word out of fucking every place. Yeah, this city isn't. It's not, because yes, I have to admit, they don't say it in a racist way, but they say it in an ignorant way. Mm-hmm. And ignorance can be just as dangerous as racism. The more you know, kids.
But yeah, I can't, I don't know, I see it as just like, Miami is just one of these places too, that if you want something out of it, you have to really get it out of it. And I'm sick of it too. I'm sick of it, and I was born and raised here, and there's a lot of times like I'm kind of my hands in the air with it, because I feel that it just doesn't give as it needs to give. It just takes, and that's, I mean, after a while, it's annoying. But that's up to a person, up to the individual, I think, you know. And because, like I said, like, I could very much see myself living in LA very fucking happily. You know, L.A. or San Francisco or Seattle, up and down the West Coast. I can't say that about other places. I lived in Chicago. Couldn't say that I could live in Chicago happily. You know, New York also. You know, I love New York. I think New York's awesome. But after a while, I want to punch people in the back of the fucking head. Because, you know, you're just there.
Have you been through your face?
Yeah, just fucking get away from me, you know, because you're just living on top of each other, so. You know, but like I said, there are a lot of big city problems. I think, you know, Broward is a little bit more possible. I think there's a lot of things to Miami, too. There's a lot of, like, the rat race here. It's very, you know, you got to look at the basic foundation of this city is tourism, you know, with the citizens mostly being either ancient fucking retirees or newly right off the boat fucking immigrants. And what happens with both those people? They're pissed fucking poor and hungry as fuck. And so you get that attitude from a lot of people here. And I say this from experience, from seeing it, from living in the city. So, yeah, no. What are you going to do, you know?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, and it's not like I haven't found good things in Miami. I have. Mm-hmm. But I just, the negatives outweigh the positives by such a large amount that it's, you know, it's just not worth it. It isn't. You know, I've met some fantastic people here. And like I said, I've made 5 friends here. And
it's funny that you count them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. There's 5.
Yeah,
there's
5.
Yeah. Plenty of acquaintances, but there's 5 people I consider friends. But I think what it is, too, is the people I've met, like, you could easily transplant them here and put them in L.A. And they would do just fine without any problems. Yeah. It's that same mentality you have where, like, you accept that this place is all these things. But what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, all the people that I've befriended have that same mentality. We're very laid back. It's cool. It's, you know, they hate Miami just as much, but they've lived here their entire lives, and they cannot possibly see themselves leaving, up and moving.
Yeah.
Because this is their home.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm like, and I look at, like, my co-worker, Alex. this dude wears shorts, sandals, and a t-shirt, like, every fucking day. I'm like, that's L.A. Yeah. That's what people in L.A. do all the fucking time. I said, you're an anomaly here. I said, get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, ah, this is where everything is to him, you know?
Yeah.
And again, but yeah, the people I've befriended, I mean, like, the reason why I think it's because their mentality isn't...
And it's amazing because there's a constant flux here that I'm seeing it again. And it's funny. Like, look at it like fucking seasons or something. And it's always like every 3-4 years, kind of like the presidency or some shit, where people come and go. And there's like this fucking thing. It's like, not only you, but other people.
I was like, I met the 4-year mark.
Yeah, like, it's like, you were like one of the first ones, and other people said, fuck Miami. Like, it's the fuck Miami, get the fuck out thing. And you know, as soon as people are free and clear, everything looks good, take off. Boom, everybody gets the fuck out. And then, like, and at the same time, a bunch of people start returning. Like, now there's a lot of people that I know that are contemplating returning to Miami, coming back for one reason or another. A lot of it's family. A lot of it's because of family. They're like, oh, you know, my family's over there, blah, blah, blah. A lot of it's economic. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go fucking live with my folks or live with a brother or sister or something, you know, until this shit clears up and I can find a fucking job, because wherever X place I'm at is shit right now. So, but yeah, the thing is, too, is that it is, I even tell people all the time, even fast food tastes better the more you get out of Miami. Like, it's odd. Like, I've been to Taco Bell's in...
Oh, okay, I got
you. In, like, Illinois, and I just, like... It's better. Like, it's better prepared. The people are nice. Like, you look like, you know, drive up and it's like, how can I help you? Hey, that's great. Are you sure you have enough sauce?
That already
like, makes... It's like, what the fuck? Like, are you gonna kill me? Like, I don't fucking know.
That already makes the food start tasting better, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think, and I'm talking, well, I've never, like, I do fast food very rarely. Mm-hmm. But the times I've done it, it's been just shitty service that just puts a sour... tasting
oh, there's mouth. A Burger King I won't go. I used to get fucking breakfast sometimes through there really fast. If I'm running late for work and I need to eat something, I was like, fuck it, I won't fucking go there. Because the lady there is just so fucking negative. Like, welcome to Burger King, how can I help you? Like, fuck you. Like, I did it once. Because it's the one kind of drive-thru that if you go in, there's no other way out. Like, you have to go through the circuit, right? And I drove up and I heard her and I said, and there was no one behind me, so I was like, fuck it. I backed out and got the fuck out of there. I said, fuck it, dude. I'll skip breakfast. I'll eat breakfast later. I'll eat it once I get to around where I work, because I'm not dealing with it. It's just so negative and bad. And I'm not fucking, dude, that is a shitty job. You work at a Burger King, you work at a McDonald's, that sucks. It's a bad, shitty job. I know you didn't choose that. And I know you probably have a better reason. Maybe you're looking for, maybe you're doing it for now because you're going to school. Whatever the fuck. That's fine. You know? But don't shit on me because if you work at one.
And that's what I was going to say. I'm like, look, it doesn't, because I've always said this. Like, once a job stops being fun, that's usually when I'm out. Like, you know, this job was still fun to me.
Yeah.
It was getting, but it was still fun to me. And that's honestly, like you said, when you find something good in a city, especially what you're doing, if that's what's keeping you there, it's going to keep you there for as long as that job is fun to you. I've always believed that. And so, yeah, if you have a shitty job somewhere, yes, either you suck it up and you realize, I'm not going to get anything better right now.
What are you going to do?
Or you go and get something better. But don't make the people who have to deal with you have to suffer. Because that is what irritates me. I'm like, I've done shitty jobs. We've all done fucking shitty jobs. Mm-hmm. But does it make it any better when you make the customer feel like shit? Mm-hmm. They don't care here. That's what bugs me. Here, it's like customer service doesn't exist. Mm. You know? And like, being a person who quickly angers, that shit just drives me bananas, dude. It makes me want to choke a fucking person. Mm-hmm. And ask them, they're not paying you because you fucking look pretty behind that register. They're paying you for a job, and that part of that job is being somewhat nice to a fucking customer.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that part, there's a disconnect for people to understand. You're getting paid to do a specific something. I had a warehouse guy that hated working the warehouse. And he complained about it and everything. And I would always tell him, I go, why don't you go find something else? Why don't you leave? Mm-hmm. You know, because he did his job. I had no issues with him, and we used to have conversations about all this different shit. But he felt he was it was beneath him because he drove a better car than me. Working in the warehouse.
Well, that's some self-delusional shit.
You know, too. There's a lot. And I'm like, if you're tired of working here, if you're bitching about working here, if this is beneath you, what he used to say is, "Ese trabajo es para los indios," you know. And I'm like,
you're already dealing with somebody that has a mistaken, very mistaken view of life.
Yeah, and I'm all like, well, look, indio, get back to work because you no one's keeping you here. And I used to always tell him that. I used to just fuck with him because I'm like. No one's forcing you to come here.
I remember, and this is something I remember, I forgot, what's a big, huge, tall guy with the big-ass teeth that was like a, what's it called? That he was not a self-improvement guy, but he was...
Oh, Tony Robbins?
Tony Robbins. And I remember, I've never been like a huge fan, but I always heard good shit, you know, about it. And I think I forgot what it was, I don't know if it was a TED Talk or what it was I saw. And it was poignant what he was saying, because he was talking to some guy and he says... Well, you know, I have this position at this job, at this company, and they pay me 40 grand, 50 grand, whatever it is. You know, but I should be a fucking senior, whatever the fuck, because I know this, and I've done all this stuff. They don't recognize my potential and everything else and everything else. And he's like, that's not their problem, to recognize things. You know what I'm saying? That's not their job. You need them to recognize it. What have you done to make for them to garner the fucking attention? And say, oh shit, well, you know what? We should get fucking Joe Schmo here and put him in fucking VP of operation. What have you done? You've done what? Just your job. You've been a good little spinning wheel where you are, and that's all you've proven to be. So why should anybody give you a chance for more? And if you can't master that little shit job, how can you gonna master something so much bigger than you? And that's a problem with a lot of people. I think a lot of people don't recognize that they have to, you know, change that attitude. And I think it was Bill Gates who said it. It's like, you know, if you need to understand that if you're sitting somewhere and you're flipping fucking burgers, as much as you might say that's a punishment and that's a job, the older generation used to say that that was an opportunity.
Nice.
You know? And I think that fucking attitude, that look at things, is all that makes a difference in every situation. And as long as you have that attitude of it, I remember when I was when I left the place I was at, there was an art director. You know, I was paying it, being getting paid crazy money and all this shit. And I had that fucking tiff with my boss, and it was a back and forth. And I said, "Fuck it," I left it. Job market was horrible, and I was unemployed for 2 months. And I remember going, "Fuck, what do I do?" You know. And it was all these things. And I ended up even getting the application. I never filled it out for Starbucks. I was going to be a barista. Because there was one right in my corner.
Oh, okay.
I went there all the fucking time. I talked to these assholes all the time. I almost felt like I kind of knew everything is already. You know, like now I just need the techniques. And I even thought, like, dude, I really don't know how to make that kind of coffee and everything. But cool, they'll train me. And I said, fuck it. That's like an opportunity. And how great is that? I'll make my fucking job money. I won't need a car. It's in the corner. You know, I even looked at it like, wow, that's kind of cool. And then I get to see all the shit that goes on in this town. I get to see the comings and goings and talking to people, and you never know what connections you can get.
I'm telling you, what are you doing in Miami? That attitude, that mentality doesn't belong here.
But it's worked for me really good. Wait, so
I'm sorry. Keep going.
And that's the thing. So I look at it, and I looked at it as an opportunity. And then when this other job came about, the archivist job, which is a dream come true. And it's literally one of these jobs that to this day I'm like, eh? Like, how the fuck did this happen?
Thankful every morning.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm going to work, guys.
I know. Like, how the fuck did I land this shit? Sweeter job you couldn't get, like the job I have. But I was kind of like, where the fuck did this come from? But it was one of those things that I was almost kind of like, man, I don't get to be a barista now. Like, I was kind of sad. I was like, man, dude, I always... You know, and I was like, and it's funny because everybody else had an attitude of like, oh, but that's like embarrassing. Like, you were an art director, now you're a barista. And I was like, who the fuck gives a dick about any of these people?
Pay my bills.
I'm paying my bills, and if I'm happy and I'm doing what I want to do, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? What is, you know, the thing is also that the people need to realize is that you are not your job. your job may be a big part of you, maybe what you do, and if you're lucky enough, can be your life if it's something that you really enjoy. But it's not your fucking, it's not you. That's not who you are. And a lot of the, you know, being a doctor is a great thing, but there's probably plenty of asshole fucking doctors and probably great fucking doctors, you know? And it doesn't fucking mean anything, you know? What, apart from your job, what are you? You know, what do you do beyond that, you know? And I think people need to take that to account. And I think people get hit too hard. Like, oh, I'm flipping burgers. Oh, look at me. I'm such a piece of... Fuck it, I'm flipping burgers, bro. Whatever. I'm back here eating shit, making jokes, fucking, you know, making meat puppets. You know, I don't know. Like, that kind of attitude with it, too. So I think there's a lot of people that are very fucking mistaken. And everybody thinks they should be at the top. It's just like everybody, you know, you watch any of these American Idols or anything, I have what it takes to be a star. Does that matter? And is that what it is? Or is it, you know, and isn't that what breaks people to pieces?
I'm telling you, I watch those shows and I see talented people. I mean, some of these people have, and I don't watch American Idol, God no. I watch The Voice, which is not any better. It's a guilty pleasure. But I'm one of those people that in my head, I'm like, what, like, where are you in life, or where, what cave are you in that prevents you from singing publicly to everyone in the world? With the resources that are available nowadays,
exactly,
what is keeping you from turning that God-given talent and God-given, I mean, you know, that amazing voice you have naturally that other people would fucking kill for? What's keeping you from using that at all? Yeah. And in my head, and I'm telling you, in my head, I'm like, we live in a fucking, I mean, we live in one of the best times, I think.
As a foreign artist, especially, I think.
You know, where
it's
easier
now to garner an audience.
Is incredible. Than any,
yeah, I think a lot of it.
You
know,
but I see what you mean, though. Those people who confuse stardom with, like, that's going to make them happy, or that's going to fix things.
And make it
things.
From the basis of what is it that you're doing. If you really want to sing, if that's your whole fucking point, find any spot and sing.
Exactly.
If that's what you really fucking want. It's the same way, like, I've had actors that I've talked to that, you know, their main thing is a lot of times the attention. They want attention. I mean, that's what I've seen is a core of a lot of actors. It's not so much the art, it's the attention or the creation of a situation, you know? Sometimes in the higher level of them, you see that in them, that they're willing, their whole thing is just to be in they'll be able to create a situation and be part of a situation. But that they have that different kind of look, and their whole thing is to work and to get work under them and get scenes under them and get it out there. And other people, they're holding out, like, for the big time. You know, they're I'm right there by the phone waiting for Steven Spielberg to call me. You know, and no, dude, that's not going to happen. You know, and other ones are just like, dude, every fucking thing they can do, they'll get into it. They'll do it, you know? And it's like, hey, man, I'll be out of work on 4 on Saturday, and then I'll head right over and we'll start filming. Like, that kind of attitude.
And that's what you want.
And that's where the people build what they're doing, you know? And they live, and you have to kind of take whatever life you're going to get from that, you got to take it. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to go after that art thing, whatever it is, be a writer, singer, or songwriter, whatever the fuck, you got to take life as it is. Because if that's your main point, you know, it's just like, I'm gonna smoke crack. I know that crack's gonna make me fucked up, you know? I like crack. Crack is great. But I know I'm gonna end up selling shit because of crack. That's the main point. That's what you have to understand. That has to be part of it. And I think a lot of people don't want to do sacrifice. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to work hard. They don't want to go through the fucking motions. You know, I'm the first one to go and say, you know, like I've said about, like, people getting business degrees and shit like that. You know, it may help understand the language and the latitudes and platitudes of some kind of fucking job. But that doesn't mean you know what the fucking business is. That doesn't mean that you know what a salesman is. You don't know what the fucking any of those things are. The best way to learn to do that, go sell shit. Go run a fucking business. You're so hotshot, go run a piece of shit pizzeria. But then, and make a goal for yourself. Hey, pizzeria makes X amount this year, I'm going to make double next year. That's my goal for this pizzeria. How do I do that? That's how I'm going to find out. And that's how my classes start. You know? Do I need to advertise more? Make this? Do this? Host parties? La, 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 la. Like I said. And I even thought, you know, I said, wow, you know, I mean, if I was a barista for a while, I'll start learning all the fucking coffees and how to make it, or what the machinery is, how it's fucking done. Never know. Maybe one day I'll fucking get bored and I'll make my own little coffee stand. But the opportunity is to learn and to grow and approach every situation. People do not approach things like that. There are a lot of people that don't approach anything like that about learning and growing. Their whole fucking stunt is to make some money and then so they can sit at home and lie on their ass and watch TV.
And you know what? I would like to make a retraction. Mm-hmm. Because of your example. I don't have a problem with baristas. I don't have a problem with people who make coffee. Well, I do hate the term barista. I do. Because my beef is with Starbucks. And so if I said something offensive to any of the listeners before this, it wasn't you make coffee for a shitty place. I just hate that shitty place.
It's like anything else. I remember when I lived.
I just want to say I'm sorry if I hurt anybody's feelings.
San Francisco. I remember I didn't go to Starbucks at all because there was a fucking coffee place every goddamn corner.
I know
that had its own thing. And in Chicago, I remember going and there was like two or three different, even though there were chains, different places you could go, like Caribou Coffee or. Fucking, what was the other one? I forgot its name.
Was it Green Leaf or the
maybe
the Tea Leaf or coffee bean?
Coffee beans, one of them. And, you know, and I would go there and you know whatever else. But the whole thing is, and this is just part of brand and marketing. It's the same reason why if you go at it, like to a McDonald's, to a Burger King, you know what that is. A Whopper is a Whopper is a Whopper.
True.
A Big Mac is a Big Mac is a Big Mac. And me, most of the time, is iced coffee. I like iced coffee, and the only people that make the iced coffee like I like it is Starbucks. That's all it is. I don't go for like the cinnamon dolce latte or whatever.
Although, do you sit there?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I've done it though, and let me tell you something. I like writing when I'm in those places. I do like typing away on a keyboard and writing. It is a good energy. I don't know what it is. I think it's because it's the right amount of distraction to keep my brain boiling. I've done it a couple of times where, especially when I was unemployed, because I had nothing going on. So. Even if I was going to just look for work online, I was like, fuck it, I'll go sit at the Starbucks. At least got to get out of the house, you know? But I've done it a couple of times where I've had to go and do some writing or something like that, and I'm just not feeling it at home. I'll grab my laptop, throw it in a bag, and throw it in my bag, and go over to Starbucks and sit there, you know? And just, and I'll end up banging away a lot of fucking shit, you know? And, you know, sometimes it's just a change of venue that fucking does that.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's that recognizability, that branding, that kind of attitude and everything else that helps so much. And you can beat it fucking. That's like some people see that as daunting. But you go and say, okay, let's make your own coffee place. I'm like, oh, man, but how are you going to compete with Starbucks? Other than, yeah, the fact that there's a shit ton of machinery and stuff that you need so that you can be on par with making what they're doing, it's not that hard. It just takes a lot of effort.
Right.
And that's where, again, people...
But again, dude, I'm telling you, and the thing is...
Falter.
And I think the difference is that the way you approach that was, this is a step for me. Mm. Not, this is a plateau for me.
No,
you know,
all.
And too many people, and I think that's the mentality that bugs me. Too many people, they see it as a negative plateau, or they see it as a positive plateau, like, this is as far as I'm going to go. Or,
exactly.
Wow, I made it this far.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, very few people are like, this is just another step as I make my way up. And I think, and back to what this episode's supposed to be about, my hatred for Miami, is that people don't have that here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't. I mean, you are, say you are at what is considered a shitty job. Mm-hmm. They're not using it for what it should be. They're seeing it as... bottom of the fucking swamp water, like, this is my life. Mm-hmm. It sucks. I hate coming to work. Yet, you show up every day. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes late, 15 minutes late, but you show up every day, though. Mm-hmm. At what point does it stick to your head, like, I'm not going to do this anymore, or I'm going to do this better, mm-hmm. so that I don't end up here, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I'm telling you, I remember being 18 years old and working a grave shift security job. In downtown LA. Mm-hmm. It was like 7 of us on the night shift. Mm-hmm. And like 6 months in, my supervisor was quitting. She was moving to like Washington or Oregon. I did my job really well. I learned everyone's job. I did everything. I wrote her a letter and said, hey, I don't know what the plans are, but I'd like to put my name in the ballot for your position. And she called me into her office and she laughed. And she goes, you know, you've only been here 6 months, right? Mm. And I said, I know, but I'm just saying, if I'm letting you know I can do this, I want to do this, you know? Yeah. And she laughed, you know? And she goes, well, you know, I just wanted to tell you that it takes a little more time to be able to be here, but I appreciate, you know, you putting it in. But it was one of those things where, like, being the low-level security guard wasn't for me. Yeah. It was a step, though, because mm-hmm. there were positions you can go up to. Mm-hmm. But you know what she did do? When she left, like a month later, she called me into her office and she said, look, I know you know, and she laughed again. She goes, I know you wanted my position, but I'm promoting the assistant who is a supervisor twice a week when I'm off. Would you like his position? So basically, 3 days a week, I would do the shitty jobs I was already doing. 2 days, though, I was a supervisor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, yes, I want that. 6 months later, that guy left, and I became a supervisor. Yeah. Because now I had the experience. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things, like, I never meant to stay at the low-level position, you know? Like, mm-hmm. my mentality was, it's a shitty job. Mm-hmm. But there's other things I could be doing, yeah. getting paid just a little bit more for doing them, you know? But it just seems like here, mm-hmm. you'll stay at that low-level job and just be pissed.
Because you're an ass. That's the only thing.
But how many asses are here? I think
a lot of people will think, a lot. That's the thing, the problem is. You just pinpointed the fucking situation. Look, dude, I always tell you the same thing, and that's a dicho cubano, but that thing of, like, you gotta shake trees to see what falls. You know? Your whole thing, and a lot of times it's that attitude, that idea of, all right, what else is there? You know, I remember American Airlines when I was there. Great fucking job. Fucking every time I was there, I talked to this guy, I talked to that guy. I remember for a while I was entertaining getting my pilot's license. Okay, that's how far along I came along. Because, not to be a pilot at American Airlines, because I knew a bunch of import export guys that worked at the airline, and they help import export stuff from Jamaica and everything else. When a guy says, you know, you get your pilot's license, this is something that just with the license, you can make so much money. Because they'll be call you up, hey man, so and so wants to get to Jamaica, like now. That's a 2.5 hour flight or 2 hour flight on a Cessna, and you're in Jamaica, you need to have your pilot's license to be able to do it. You don't even need to have the fucking plane. Because there's plenty of people that be like, here's the fucking plane, here, you know, get in and fly this asshole to Jamaica. Or they have to take this X thing to there. And sometimes it's like, since Jamaica has a pretty big port too and everything else, it's like, oh, you gotta take, you know, this thing to make sure a fucking ship can take off or a plane part, and we need people to fly to Orlando. We need, you know why? Because it has to be like right now. Like, this is like now. Like, we're not fucking waiting on a flight or anything or UPS. Like, right fucking now. Like, show up at the airport, go do that one night, fly in, fly back. You're done in 4 hours. You can make $500 just doing that. And that's amazing. That's fucking awesome. So I said, oh, fuck, that's kind of cool. And it's cool. Like, you're flying a plane and shit. Like, kind of know stuff. I'm like, that's kind of a fucking good deal to have. So it was one of the things. The only reason why I never went into it is it's fucking expensive to start to do that. You have to take your hours and get your flying license. You have to, you know, start off. You have to devote a lot of time to it. But I remember I was always in something. I was always talking to people. There was always somebody, hey, man, I'm doing this, April. And I think that's one of the jobs that I like, because there was always something I found out from someone. You know, about something going on, you know? Hey, man, this guy's selling a boat. But then I'll talk to another guy, and he'll come up with the guy with the boat. And then he sold the boat, and then the guy gave me a piece from the boat. And then, hey, this guy does that. Oh, this guy has a crash car. Oh, I have a body shop. You know, there was always some rhythm.
You're just a chismoso.
So you have to be like that. And the thing is, I remember a lot of times that when I was, like, I would be working, but let's just say, you know, there was an hour or two between flights or something, I would sit somewhere, and I would draw. And I would sit there for fucking drawing. Sometimes zombie ears, like when I was first starting, it was just that I was drawing zombie ears there and sitting there and talking to people. They would see me drawing all the time, doing the illustrations for Steampunk Magazine back then and everything. And I always had something going on, you know? And at that time, I had like a Palm, I forgot what the fuck it
Palm
was, a
Pilot.
Palm Pilot phone, like,
yeah,
looked like a fucking, and I was holding a laptop to my head. And yes. I would be on the internet on there, able to get on the Wi-Fi and find out shit and click stuff. And the whole time was just getting things moving and talking to one guy. And I think a lot of people saw that. They were even telling me, like, why are you doing this job? Why aren't you doing illustration somewhere? Why don't you do it? Because I am. And I am doing this job at the same time. And while I was there, I fucking did my job. And they would offer me different positions all the time. I remember a lot of times they were like, they were amazed. Like, you have a bachelor's? I'm like, yeah. Like, why aren't you a fucking manager? It's like, they're not union. They get their heads cut off all the time. I want to stay down here where everything's cool and unionized, and you can't fire me. Why would I want to be a CSM? They get $2 more an hour, but then they can fire me at any time? Fuck that. Stay union, you know? and learn about the planes and learn about the packaging and what you can do, and then fly to different places. And then the obvious choice, and all you needed to do to get that job was have a clean record. Just have a clean record, not spotless.
Just it's clean.
Just don't have a fucking warrant. You know?
No misdemeanor. I mean, misdemeanors are okay, but no felonies. Mm-mm. No POs. Mm-hmm.
But I think, and then leaving that, and even finding my art director job that I had later on, you know, they found me. You know, president of the company found my work and came to me and said, dude, I want you to work for me. Like, out of nowhere, like, cold. I had an email that I looked at. I'm like, this is a tarp. This is a trap, you know. Like, I couldn't. Why? Because I had my shit out there. I would build my own website. I would build it. But wherever I was, I'm doing the most I can at the moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And keep your eyes open and see what's going on. And with that, that's the reason why I'm not bothered as much about Miami as other people are. And I'm not just saying for you, because even Karina fucking hates this place, and a lot of fucking people they just start, and I hear them, and I'm like, I totally understand what you're saying, and I have those days too. That I sit there and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this place? But that being said, it's like, dude, I don't know. Like, I'm like, whatever, you know? I know there might be better opportunities and better ideas and better things than other places, but same shit to me. I'd still be doing what I'm doing, you know?
Right. And that's it. See, again, you're an anomaly, though. Yeah. You could be anywhere and you'd be fine. And I think that's the difference. Like, mm-hmm. too many people aren't like that. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, back to the topic of the day. Mm-hmm. It's just not enough people are like that, and unfortunately, it comes off. It comes out of their fucking pores.
And I think, you know, the main thing is too is that, be it all this bitching that we've done, and all the reasons that we give, and they're real reasons, and I think they're true. I think the biggest problem is the social aspect of it. I think if Miami had a better social attitude, all those other things wouldn't be a problem. And I think it does exist, but it doesn't exist within
not as free,
our right. age group and within the English speaking. I think when you look at what a lot of the recién llegado do within their own, and they go and bring people in and do this and do that, it's like there's a better attitude in what's going on. But when it comes to anything that's subculture or anything else, it's always piss poor. But I've seen a resurgence of things. Some things getting stronger. Some things having a better basis and better lift. Things getting a little bit better. But I think a lot of times that change that's out there that needs to happen has to happen from the people that are involved. And those that they have to do it. But Miami's a tough nut to crack because it's a very expensive place. It's a very hard fucking place. I've talked to people about opening businesses here, and it's just like with a fucking laugh, they're like, nah. Like, it's like, hey, why don't you open a comic book shop? No. No. You know, and it's like, why? Why does it have to be like that? But I think is a lot of people too are just not willing to do shit. And, you know, I remember being in LA and it's like, hey, we're gonna go this way, 30-minute drive, fuck it. Get in the car. You know what I'm saying? People are not willing to drive 30 minutes here. Are you what? Nah, man, I'll stay home.
Oh shit!
So,
But yeah, let's I guess like you said, there's a lot of bitching going on. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and stop that and let's give the last few minutes of the podcast a lot. You know, as a retrospective of the good that I have found in Miami. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great bars in Miami. Let me tell you, a lot of mm-hmm. great bars mm-hmm. for any transplants that ever decide to come and visit.
Yeah,
Miami Beach. South Miami Beach has the Deuce, one of the mm-hmm. best bars, mm-hmm. and that's a dive bar. It's a great dive bar. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it too many times. Go to North Miami Beach, and you find On the Rocks, another dive bar, mm-hmm. hole in the wall. If you're in downtown Miami, mm-hmm. the filling station has some of the best wings I've ever had, mm-hmm. a great atmosphere, mm-hmm. good beer. Pub One has one of the best bartenders I've ever had, mm-hmm. Little Rob. And in that place, it's too big for what it is. It's on like Southeast 1st and Northeast 2nd. Mm-hmm. It's got one pool table and it's got a very large bar that's never packed. And yeah, really great atmosphere for beer and cheap drinks. You know, a really great gay bar, the Magnum. the piano bar right here on 79th. Great fucking place. Great strip club, the Pink Pony.
Really?
No, it's not.
I'm like, that's like a horrible.
Oh, yes, but it's good because it's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
A really horrible strip club, the Gold Rush. Horrible strip club.
Oh, dude.
Bad bar, the Corner. Unless you're a hipster, then that's perfect for you. Mm. So it's everybody's got a place. Flanagan's. I'm going to miss Flanagan's. That is some delicious.
Everybody misses Flanagan's. Food, that's one of the things that every time, just the other day when my boy was here from LA and some other folks came into town from Baltimore, we were all like fucking tired in the theater. We're like, oh, what are we going to do? I go, you got a Flanagan's. Oh, yeah, bro, let's go. Like, right, everybody went.
Flanagan's is
wings,
great.
Wings, food.
I'm going to miss the, Flip Burger. That's a really good burger place. Fuck. Yeah. Frank's theaters up in Aventura, where all the senior citizens go to watch some movies. Gonna miss that one. Gonna miss that one. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Should have made a list. Should have thought about this. Scotty's Landing. Have you been to that one?
Scotty's Landing, yes.
Yeah, it's such a great fucking place, and it's kind of hidden. Such good seafood. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Their coconut shrimp is amazing. The DRB is another good bar, which now they opened up a new location.
Yeah.
Went to the new one. It's just a little bigger. That's it.
Yeah.
The atmosphere.
Are you still outside with the homeless?
No, less there? Homeless people.
Less homeless the people.
Less homeless people.
They put that on the side. Now featuring less homeless people.
Less homeless people. And they also, it's almost gated. So that you're outside, but there's still a gate.
Yeah.
So it's less, though it's really close to an area where there's a lot of homeless people.
Wally, the Camilla's house,
Yeah, so.
Myself.
Yeah, so, but a lot less homeless people. A lot less homeless people. Still, a nice bar. DRB is such a good bar. I recently found Alabama Jack's, but that's in the Keys. That's in Key Largo.
Oh, okay. But
that's pretty good. But, you know what? I'll give a shout out to the Fish House. And the best fucking bartender I've ever had. Mm-hmm. It's right off the one, right when you get into Key Largo, the Fish House. And there's also the Fish House and Market restaurant.
Yeah.
The bar area, though, there's a bartender there. Tall, white guy, probably close to his 50s. This dude, like, it was the night, the 23rd. Mm-hmm. My friend's family wanted to go. She kind of, she wanted to make a day of it. So I volunteered to help drive because there were so many people. I took the boys, she took the girls, and we ended up there because her mother wanted key lime pie. Mm-hmm. And they made their own key lime pie. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I want key lime pie from the Keys. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right. So we find that place. And this dude was the friendliest, nicest, and just all around good guy. Mm-hmm. Talking to her mother, talking to her father, like telling them about his life. She telling him about her. He was super attentive. I mean, it was just, it was like, where am I? Who is this super fucking nice, super good person, It was just such an amazing 1 hour of sitting there eating key lime pie and drinking coffee. It was mad that I found it so late in life because I would totally go back.
But that's the thing, man. I mean, that's the reason why that. I think it's a lot about you have to go out there and you have to look and you have to, like I said, you have to shake trees and see.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you.
And that's wherever you go. Because even if you went back to LA or in Vegas, you have to do that wherever you are, Even in places that you feel that you're familiar with.
Oh, no, totally.
I know the story of this. No, man.
I found out a few of the bars that I used to go to are closed now.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of sad.
Damn Obama.
Really?
I don't know.
They did happen during his term, though. I guess let me take this time to shout out to the friends I've made here. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mandy. She's a transplant, by the way, from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Originally from Minnesota. She came here and fell in love with this fucking place.
There's a lot of northern ones that happens to. A lot of them come down here. And they see the water. It's the weather. It's the weather. When you're in one of those cold-ass places, believe me, dude. I lived in Chicago for 3 years. When I came back, there's an appreciation. There's an appreciation you have for a place like this.
Yeah.
Even the heat, even the horrible, horrible heat, you're like, oh, thank God.
But she's a great stroke doctor, and I'm really going to miss her. And the 3 weeks that I've been just chilling at home drinking, I hung out with her a few times, more times than usual. I'm really going to miss her. Mm-hmm. My two old coworkers, Alex and Daniel, mm-hmm. going to miss them. They're the ones who introduced me to Flanagan's.
No?
Yeah, they're going to always hold a special thing in my heart.
Right next to the cholesterol? Right.
No, I always ate the good stuff. I ate the fried shrimp and the salmon and the ribs and the fries.
And the wings.
And the wings are good.
The wings are good, man.
But you know what, though? Most importantly, I want to thank you, Juan.
Oh.
This is where I suck your dick until you sploosh all over my face. No, honestly, look. It's one of those things like where you meet somebody and they change your way of thinking. Mm. You meet those people rarely in your life, and you're one of those people. Mm. Fucking 2 weeks ago, you still fucking made me change my mind about something and fucking like was like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Do it. Mm. It's one of those things. I think had I not met you, I wouldn't feel as accomplished in my time in Miami. Mm. I've done more since I've met you as far as, like, putting my work out than I would have. Because somebody like you came along and said, why aren't you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, a simple, why aren't you doing that? Why don't you do that? Who cares if it was already? Do it.
Yeah.
It was basically a do it attitude. Like, why aren't you? Do it. Go.
Yeah.
What's stopping you? Huh? Mm. And it was so, it made me feel so stupid. Like, why aren't I doing it?
Yeah. And I have to say that I don't know if it's, it partly ignorance or stupidity that I do those kind of things. And it applies for myself, too. That allows for things to happen like that. And I think that's the reason why. Like, why not? What's the most that's going to happen? What's the worst case scenario? They won't like it. Fuck them.
But yes, that, so. I'm telling you, like, coming here, being away from all my supportive, my support, basically, my support system, my family, having the security of having them around the corner, my friends and everybody, you know. Meeting somebody that's basically not even, and that's the thing, look, that's the other part of it. My friends over there were like, oh yeah, you're doing great. No one was like, why aren't you doing this? You know how easy it is to do that? And that type of thing, you know. And I think, and that's the biggest thing I want you to leave from this conversation is just that, oh, wholeheartedly thank you. Because it's the motivation that made me like do a bunch of things that I wouldn't have done on my own that I am now very grateful that I did. Wouldn't have done them though had you not come around and just said, do it. Why not? That's it. Do it. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's something that fucking simple that just never occurred to me. Do it. Why not?
This is why I wish I had a smoke bomb right now. Like, my work is done here.
He disappeared, people! He disappeared! Like a Cuban ninja. Like a Cuban ninja.
Then you hear the door open.
Or yell something from the outside. You know what it is.
All right, come back in. I forgot my phone.
No, it's going to be one of those, you do the bomb, you disappear, and I'm like, oh my God. Like 10, 20 seconds later, you're outside, and you have to have the last word, like a ninja!
Yeah.
Like, no, dude. But yeah, basically, thank you. That's it. There's just so much I've done, and I was my own worst enemy, not even thinking of doing it, not even of giving myself the opportunity. And then you just came along and were just like, why not? Do it.
And I think that's the most I can give anybody. I really do. I think that's the only thing. Because, for my half, I think it is good to have had you to comport with, to bounce ideas off of. It's good to talk to you because I can see your face. I'm like, this is bullshit. He's looking at me like an asshole right now.
Jesus Christ.
You know? And then other times, like, oh, it looks like this is a good idea. But I think it's because we come from similar backgrounds, I think. They're very similar. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, different. Like, they're at a different frequency. It's like same energy, but different frequency.
Right.
Like that West Coast, East Coast, whatever it is. So when we get there, it's funny to see sometimes, when we're talking, the ideas I have might be similar to what you have, but we're not in the same place. And you get to see it in more in a three-dimensional aspect. Like, you have to turn the object around than just looking at it in one way. And I think I got a lot of that from you, you know? And I think that's what made this podcast work and make me excited to come and do it and shit, because there were times I was so fucking tired, and I was just like, oh, okay, let's do this fucking podcast. But there are other times like, yeah, yeah, let's fucking go, let's fucking do it, you know? So I think that was a cool thing, and I'm glad that you got that from me, and I just hope you carry on. I think the thing with you, and what I see, is that you're an object of so much potential.
Aww.
But you stop yourself.
Aww.
And I think that's the biggest problem with you. And it makes me want to slap you. Because there's times that I say, why not? Like I've always said, like, why not? What the fuck? What does it matter? You know? And like we were talking before, for any artist or anybody that's out there, you know, you should do it. You should go and do it now more than ever. You can put a book out now and not have to publish shit. Right. You can just put it online and sell it, you know? Just accept the fact, hey, maybe it's not going to be a bestseller, you know? But you have a body of work that you can look back and say, yeah, I did that, you know? And I think that's the most essential thing right now. I heard a sound from afar and I'm like...
Oh, it's the house. It's the city trying to get at me one last time.
Miami will do that. I've seen it.
Look, I got 24 hours. People. 24 hours. I'll be on a plane. Nothing's going to stop that. Yeah. But yeah. So this will continue. But yeah, as far as...
One form or another.
Yeah, but as far as us being in the same room at the same time.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, yeah,
but... set up in Vegas? Let me know.
That's a problem, too. Like, I say I wouldn't come back, but now... I'm like, fuck, I would come back to visit you and fucking Alex and Danny.
No, hopefully if I have a fucking house by then with an extra room, you can fucking...
Or I have a house in Vegas. Yeah. Maybe things will work out for me.
Yeah. No, they will. Don't say maybe.
Oh, no, I know they will. I'm being humble.
Yeah.
Come on, look. If you've known anything about me, is I'm a humble man.
Yeah.
A very humble man.
One thing is humble. Another thing is fucking being dumb. All right?
Oh.
Don't be dumb about shit.
Okay.
You know, that's my thing. You know, like, humble is they, you know.
Like I'm not that good of an artist, but thank you.
Yeah, you know, nah, like I always say, maybe 1 inch of penis, but there's 250 pounds behind it, so, you know, we'll get the job done somehow.
Well, so I agree, though. Yeah, what you have put in me.
What are you putting me? 1 inch of penis, 250 pounds in.
What you have gifted me with.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I'm going to carry on. Mm. And I'm always going to be bugging you anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But let's just end it with thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Ding, 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 ding. How does it go? Dun, na, na, na. When we're walking the Hulk walk.
Yeah.
Find Juan's drawings and musings at fwakata.com. That's FWACATA. Keep up with Chris's drinking and ramblings at typewriteronmute.blogspot.com. Also like them on Facebook at Zombie Ears and Christian Guillen, GUILLEN.